Welcome to the Freelance Podcast. I'm your host and fellow freelancer, RJ McCollum. And this week, it is going to be more than just me, one mouth, talking. I'm actually going to have a guest here. I bring Christopher Hawkins back on the show. If you remember, if you're a longtime listener or a listener that has gone back and listened to every episode, I had Christopher back on episode 11, it was, and he talked a lot about freelancing back then. Today, I'm excited that we have the conversation for you guys. We talk again, obviously, about freelancing. Imagine that, a freelance podcast about freelancing. But as usual, Christopher, in his infinite wisdom, just gives a lot of really good information. We talk about kind of where he's at now, where he's at in terms of products, how his products are geared towards and helping freelancers because of his experience. And we also talk about his new free freelance course on dealing with troublesome clients and client conflicts. So hope you guys enjoy it. There will be links for everything in the show notes, and I will stop talking. And here is my conversation with Christopher Hawkins, take two. You were on the show, this is back for me, episode 11, which even though I'm only in like the 30s right now, 11 seems like forever ago. I mean, we talked over a year ago or so at this point. So how is Christopher Hawkins doing?
Well, let me see. I think when we talked before, it was just before I had launched my book, I think. Things are going well. I'm continuing to build up my freelance business. I'm also continuing to devote some amount of time, not as much as I was before, but I am devoting some amount of time to kind of diversifying my income streams to include products.
Yeah.
At one point, I wanted to get out of consulting completely, and I've kind of gotten away from that. I'm trying to find a nice mixture of, you know, this much consulting, this much product, maybe a bit of training, and I think I can kind of sort of see a path to getting to that place. But I've got to keep my consulting business running well in order to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because I've kind of gone through, especially at the beginning of this year, gone through something similar where you almost, I don't know how to say it, but I almost didn't give my freelance work, my client work, I didn't give that enough respect. I kind of got sucked into like products. That's the wave of the future. Like if you want to be successful, that's what you got to do is products, hustle, 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 all right. This different stuff. I got sucked into that. And at the beginning of this year, I kind of had to like just say, okay, like what is it that I want to do? Yes, I do want to do products, but client work is what has gotten me to this point, you know, in my life, in my career. I need to respect that and give it the attention that it deserves. So that way I'm still able to pursue these other things, potentially products and stuff down the road. So it's interesting to kind of hear that sentiment from you as well. And I think from, you know, I kind of interpreted that a little bit just from continuing to listen to Chasing Product, which obviously I'm a bad host at this point because I didn't properly introduce you. So let's just get right to the details. So Christopher Hawkins, I found Chris a few years back through his podcast Chasing Product, which there will be a link in the show notes here for you guys to find that. I highly recommend it for you guys to listen to. I had Chris on the show a little over a year ago. He was nice enough to respond favorably to this person who he had never heard from and said, yes, I'll be on your show. And so that was episode 11 of the Freelance Podcast. Again, link will be in the show notes here. But Chris is a fellow freelancer. He is probably one of the wisest freelancers that you will get to hear from. If you listen to Chasing Product already, you know that. But how long have you been in the game, so to speak?
13 years as of last month.
13 years. That yep. is phenomenal. Congratulations.
Thanks.
13 years is a huge testament to your skill and ability as a freelancer and business person. So Congrats on that. Okay, so now intro. You guys know who Chris is, if you haven't known already. I'm actually glad that you brought that up. That, you know, you're continuing consulting. Kind of like I said at the beginning, is that I kind of had to go through that process as well. One thing that I do like, though, and so I want to kind of give the reins back over to you, is it seems like the little products that you've been putting out have been focused back on freelancers or people who are trying to kind of run a consultancy. Yep. What kind of flipped in saying, you know, instead of doing this SaaS app, you know, small spec, which you were working on and which was going to help consultancies and individuals, what kind of flipped to, I guess, for lack of a better term, delivering more info style type products to other freelancers?
Well, it was a long path to get to that point. And small spec is not by any means dead. It's actually got a kind of a renewed part of my plans going forward in the future, but I'll get to that in a minute. You know, when the big wave, and I want to say this happened around 2008, 2009, when the big wave of people telling us, hey, you don't have to grind your life away on the consulting treadmill, you can launch a SaaS app. You can do everything scalably. You can attract customers scalably. You can, you know, increase the size of your app scalably. You can build it scalably. You never have to do this 1 hour at a time, one customer at a time stuff again. And I said, oh, well, hell, that sounds fantastic.
That's the promised land right there.
Exactly, because most of the things that we have to deal with in consulting that annoy us, and there's a lot about consulting and freelancing that's just magical. I love, for example, going into a business that's maybe not running well, or maybe they're still running it in 1953 command and control style and everything's on paper and mapping out their business processes and coming up with some bespoke solution to help them run their business better. That's the magical stuff. The things that aren't so magical are the only being able to sell something once, mm-hmm. right? Okay, well, I worked this hour building a, you know, whatever, a balloon ranching management system. I can't sell that hour again to somebody else.
Right.
Unless, of course, you know, another balloon farmer comes along. And I can. But then at that point, that's where you're abstracting client projects out into a SaaS app anyway. So most of the non-scalable stuff in consulting is exactly the thing that is painful. So when the age of the SaaS app came along with all of its accordant promises, I bought in hard.
Yeah.
Hard. Now, what nobody told me is that running a consulting agency successfully and building a SaaS app at the same time is hard. It's hard. And that's actually a big motivator behind launching my podcast, Chasing Product. I knew that I needed to get eyeballs onto my project in order mm-hmm. for people to care. And I also knew that I desperately needed to learn from people who had already done it. And Chasing Product was the way I solved both of those problems. Now, along the way, things got a little wild in my personal life. It kind of intruded on work. Things turned into life in general turned into a bit more of a slog mm-hmm. than it really should have been, a little bit more than I anticipated it. So something that was already difficult, building a SaaS app and maintaining a consultancy, became damn near impossible. And at a certain point, I said, okay, work-life balance is out of whack. I've got drama. I need to tap the pause button on something. What's it going to be? Well, the fact of the matter is, and you alluded to this earlier yourself, RJ, consulting is what brought me to the dance. Mm-hmm. And as my grandma always said, you dance with who brought you. So I said, okay, we're going to pause. I had a prototype of small spec. I was not happy with it. I scuttled it and started over. Was not able to recapture the momentum from the first time around. So I just kind of hit the pause button. I refocused on my own consulting practice because I had cannibalized a lot of billable hours. I had cannibalized a lot of the time that I ordinarily would have spent seeking out new clients mm-hmm. in order to work on the SaaS app and learn how to be a marketer. That was another element of doing the podcast, is to learn kind of the basics of marketing. And that went fine for a while, but the itch to create didn't go away. The itch to have something that I can sell over and over and over did not go away. So when the Gumroad Small Product Lab came up, the first one back in the summer of 2015, mm-hmm. I said, okay, it's basically a 10-day product sprint. I can do this, because I felt like I needed to get on the scoreboard. I felt like I just needed to ship something, which is a little odd, because, you know, we're freelancers. We ship stuff for our clients every day, but I wanted to ship something for me.
Yeah.
I wanted to wake up one morning and look at my dashboard and say, oh, look, I made, you know, $300 while I was sleeping. Great. So that's why I did the podcasting book. It was small enough in scope that I could pull it off in 10 days. I had half the book damn near written already. I had extensive notes for internal use with me and my assistant and I for helping me prep the show. I had extensive conversations with people who had asked me about getting started in podcasting. So I just kind of cultivated all those emails and all those chat logs and all those internal notes, and I fleshed them out into a book. And, you know, it did okay. It sold a few $1,000s. Definitely not as much of a moneymaker as if I had spent that time consulting, but that's okay because, you know, when you create an asset like that, you're kind of looking for something more than just the immediate revenue.
Right, right.
And that felt really good. I said, oh, this is great. And I did wake up one morning and say, oh, hey, I made $300 last night. And it was fantastic, but we had some stuff going on in the family. We had an elderly relative. My wife and I ended up caretaking her full-time for about 3 months right after my book launched. So all my fancy pants marketing plans went down the drain. I barely had time, barely had time to operate my consulting agency, even with the help of my two developers. So I said, okay, I've lost my momentum with the podcasting book. Time to reevaluate. This is, I guess, around November 2015. And it occurred to me that, A, podcasting was probably going to be a tough road to walk as far as a market to sell products into.
Yeah.
And B, I had set out initially to do a freelancer product. I had 10 years of history as a blogger on freelance topics. Matter of fact, I'm trying to think of anybody else who was blogging about freelancer stuff way back in 2004. I just can't think of anybody. I'm sure they're out there. But all that together, I said, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I need to do this for my people. I need to do this for my best audience, for the people that I understand best, because I am one of them. I live their problems every day. I live their aspirations every day. And so that's when that shift that you've probably noticed in my social media stuff and branding and all the other things, my attention started to shift back toward the land of freelancing, which really I had never left, but my promotional efforts had been kind of focused away from that. And now they're, now I've kind of got everything pointing in one direction.
It's almost like you have, I'll liken it to like maybe you graduate high school, right? And so you've grown up with these people that you know, you go off to college and college is this new experience. And you know, a little bit of you changes, you know, just a tad, or maybe in some people's cases, a lot that, with these new experiences and stuff. But essentially what you have to do after college is you kind of have to come back home, right? You kind of, that's the way that I felt when it came to, I spent a lot of time investing and thinking about products. And I felt like I kind of had to come back home to what I felt not just comfortable with, not because I was scared or beaten down or whatever, but to what I felt comfortable with and to the people that I genuinely wanted to help, and that's freelancers. So you said, you know, you may have noticed, and yes, I did notice that kind of, I started to see that shift in kind of who you were talking with, people that were on the podcast. I just listened to, I don't remember exactly what episode it was, but it was the episode where the gentleman, I want to say maybe not Gavin, Gavin wasn't his name, but he was talking about how these products are essentially you're building assets for your business. It was episode.
Yeah, episode 39, Glenn Stovall, author of Dependable.
Yes, exactly, Glenn Stovall. And, you know, he had, you know, he worked in corporate and then he started doing consulting and stuff on the side. And that's what he's doing now is, you know, you guys talk about your time, how he met you because you were a mentor in the Gumroad Small Product Lab. And so I noticed these types of guests and I noticed the conversations shifting just a tad to kind of include, instead of somebody maybe like a, you know, Rob Walling, who you had on episode one, who was, you know, Mr. Sass himself, you know, you we were kind of diving more into the conversation, or you're diving more into the conversation of, you know, here's kind of what I've been doing either at my job or consulting, freelancing on the side, and here's my transition into products. And the narrative is still the same ultimately for chasing product, but I feel this, the subject matter has shifted just a little bit. And that's one of the things that I've always appreciated from you and what you put out there, is I feel you're a very tangible person. Like, you feel real to me, which I hope that's a compliment. But you,
it is.
You
it
hear
is.
A lot of people who have their success stories, or that in your mind you feel are successful, that you look up to, and a lot of times you don't necessarily get the struggle or the time investment that it took from them to get to, you know, seemingly where we are at, trying to find that successful product into, you know, what it takes to actually get to that point. And that's one of the things that I've really enjoyed from you. And especially now, it seems like not coming full circle, but again, you're kind of coming back home a little bit to, you know, where a lot of your experience and your knowledge comes from, which is being a freelancer.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And thank you for saying so. I've actually been accused of being a little too vulnerable, a little too real, maybe showing too many of the warts on my show. I remember a friend of mine opined that it may damage my brand if I'm too open. But I think that is my brand.
I was just going to say, I think speaks to your brand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit raw, occasionally vulgar, a little bit aggro. I mean, there's a reason that my new Twitter avatar has the phrase "furious freelancer" blazoned across it. You know, I'm either furious about some knuckleheaded thing that a client did, or I'm working furiously to create a better future for my family and my business and myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay. I think that's okay. I'm comfortable being vulnerable. I wasn't always. It was really awkward early on because I felt like I had to be on message.
Yep.
And I had to be as slick as some of the people that we see out there selling us on product creation and marketing things. Yeah. And I realized that that was not going to last long. I couldn't do it. So I didn't even try. I didn't even try. And I think it's worked out okay. And the new direction of the podcast, not even the new direction, just the shift in tone.
Yeah.
Is hugely informed by the things I've learned from the people who have been on the show. You mentioned that when you reached out to me and I had never heard of you and I accepted your invitation. Well, I did that because that's exactly what other people who are ahead of me have done 40 times now when I reach out to them for my podcast. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool about this whole, used to be a consultant, now I'm launching a SaaS app or a WP plugin or a book or a training course crowd, is that none of us have any illusions about the value of reaching out or reaching down to give somebody else a hand and kind of pull them along with us.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anytime the space that is products and making that transition, it's a very daunting thing. And, you know, we see these people who we just assume have this crazy amount of success, and you automatically think you have to hit a home run your first, step up to bat. And that's not the case. So,
yeah.
You mentioned kind of one, you know, we kind of alluded to it a little bit here, you know, some of the pitfalls of freelancing and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
And so that's a probably not a great segue, but, you know, one of the reasons that you're back on the show is you have some new stuff for freelancers, and it's through a email course. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's my first email course ever. It was really nerve-wracking, and I was very nervous when I released it, but I'm pretty happy with it.
Well, I would just say that having gone through, I hit day 11 today, which is pretty much the recap day of the course.
Nice.
I have to say kudos to you because, you know, I put together a little 5-day course, and it was something that I essentially knocked out in a night, and I can tell that this was not done in a night. There is a lot of information that has gone into that, and not to, you know, give away the keys to the farm here, but here is my explanation of the course here, and you can feel free to correct anything. But essentially, it's a 10-day email course. So every day, Chris is going to send you an email, and overall, essentially, the title of the course is Conquering Client Conflict. And when it comes to freelancing, especially young freelancers, who I like to think that's my audience, is people that have not been freelancing very long or have been freelancing very long, but they're ready to kind of step up from the beginner level and get closer to making that jump into full-time freelancing.
Right.
Client conflict is something that can manifest in almost every project and really just turn things sour. And I've talked a lot about how it's almost becomes a battle between you, the freelancer, and your client. And that's the last place you want to ever be, is feeling like you're battling your client. I still struggle with this from time to time. Towards the end of last year, I had what was supposed to be the biggest and best project I'd ever worked on. That went south and ended very badly due to a lot of the things that you go over in this course. And just to kind of, I'm looking at the course recap right now, and again, it's 10 days. And so there's topics like, you know, how client conflict even happens, setting boundaries, how to, you give 3 steps on how to resolve conflict, which a lot of people are not talking about this. But to me, the idea of putting together this course, the benefit of this course to freelancers is that a lot of people, whether it be via podcast, video, blog post, book, whatever, a lot of people focus on the things like, well, this is how you get clients. This is how you set up your proposals. This is how you should go through your you know, project with them and play project manager. But really, a lot of them don't touch on, if at all, how to deal with client conflict. And that is just a killer for any freelancer. What made you kind of feel like this is a topic that I should, you know, put together some content about?
Well, there are a few things. Number one, I think that I am probably best known, or at least my blogging is best known, for an article I did almost 10 years ago now about the 11 types of clients that you really need to fire if you have them. Mm-hmm. You know, it was published in Software Development Magazine. It's probably my biggest traffic getter of all time. And I still get emails about that one from, you know, to this day. And when I was trying to think of something I could do to reposition myself as somebody who's offering something to the freelancer marketing market other than blogging, mm-hmm. it occurred to me that a lot of these things are still problems. A lot of these things are still true. And a lot of the solutions that are out in the market, as you suggested, they pertain to things like how to get more clients, yes. how to get more traffic. They're quantitative solutions. But what I wasn't seeing at all were, quantitative solutions is what I saw out in the market. But what I didn't see at all was a qualitative solution. I'm not going to tell you how to get more numbers of something, although if, you know, if you get your house in order using my yep. course, you'll probably make more money anyway. I was thinking about the quality of life of a consultant or a freelancer, particularly one who's been around long enough to have a client base, mm-hmm. A big enough client base and enough going on that these kinds of things, just these human moments, are coming up and maybe dragging down your quality of life as a freelancer. So, for example, I'm very sorry to hear that you had a project kind of sideways on you. But I'm not terribly surprised, and that's not because I think you're a bad freelancer. It's because when you spend time interacting with human beings, you end up having to put up with a certain amount of human being stuff. But the nice thing is human beings are trainable. They're malleable. You can influence human beings, and sometimes it really is just as simple. If you need to conquer a client conflict, sometimes it really is as simple as just communicating a boundary clearly.
Yes.
And then having the intestinal fortitude to hold it.
Yeah.
Do you risk being fired off of a project if you're dealing with a truly incorrigible client? Sure. Do you risk losing a little bit of income in the short term? Yeah, maybe. But most of these client archetypes, like, you know, the non-responder and the something for nothing, most of them are not malicious.
Right.
Very often we're dealing with people, for example, at Kogian Systems, I kind of made my name in the industry by being the firm that you call when your old developer has screwed everything up and you need somebody to come in and refactor everything and give you, you know, working product. But that also means that I made my bones in the industry by dealing primarily with clients who are out of time, out of money, and out of patience.
Yeah.
And that is a situation that is rife for conflict. There are clients who simply don't have very much experience dealing with technical professionals or design professionals or you know, it doesn't matter what kind of a freelancer you are. You don't have to be a developer. You could right. be a freelance translator, a designer, a freelance business analyst, what have you. You may, from time to time, butt heads with your client. Very often, it's because you failed to set out the rules at the beginning of the engagement. Every once in a while, it's because, you know, the client is actually malicious. But that's, you know, that's what that article about firing clients is for. But to make it to the finish line, to make it to a point where you as the freelancer can say, okay, I've done good work and I've received a good fee, and your client can say, hey, you've done good work and we're going to get a return on investment. When these conflicts come up, you've got to learn how to manage them. You can either resolve them, you can reframe them in a way that they're no longer a source of conflict, but they're actually a benefit to everybody involved, or you can release the client. Mm-hmm. There really aren't too many other ways to do it. I prefer to try to resolve things before jumping immediately to cutting a client off. Usually, if I'm going to give somebody the boot, it's going to be in the discovery stage before they even sign on, because I can identify those red flags now. But as things go by, time goes by, I've got a client right now. They're like 60 days on their invoice, okay? They're not a habitual slow pay, right? But it is damned inconvenient. So what do? I say, okay, you guys, we did this on this date. We agreed to these terms here. What are you going to do? Let's hear it. Sorry, you know, blah happened, and blah doesn't usually happen. So we'll get that taken care of. It's usually that simple.
Right.
These people are human beings. They get it.
That's much better than, like, you know, giving them a threat or an ultimatum. Like, listen, if you don't pay this, your site's going down, and then you're forcing a situation where, again, it's you versus the client. And I like one thing that you said, and I literally actually have that on my notes here, right? Is that, and it has to do with day three, which is, you know, essentially you're presuming goodwill.
Right.
And a lot of the time when, and I've seen this in myself, so if anything, I'm just speaking from personal experience on myself. When I feel like I get all hoity-toity, like, how could they, you know, this is wrong, they're in the wrong, them, I'm perfect, you know, it's all their fault. I think ultimately what brings these situations forward is your poor communication. And like you said, usually in the beginning or from the beginning, where those boundaries or those, you know, requirements from both sides are not clearly communicated. And that's usually the cause of a situation that can start going, you know, south on somebody.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Anytime you find yourself in a situation where you're attempting to conquer a client conflict, the presumed goodwill that you brought up, that's number one. We don't want to just assume that these people are malicious. These are people that we chose to work with for a reason. Yeah. So if we're going to assume that they're malicious, that probably says something about us. But number two is we have to make sure that our hands are clean.
Yes.
Let me tell you, RJ, I have moments even after 13 years where I don't have my Zen dial turned up to 11. And I do the same thing sometimes. Oh, my God, what are they doing? What are they trying to do to me? It's not about me.
Yeah.
And you know, honestly, it's not even about them. So the first thing I have to do is look at myself. Are my hands clean? Did I really deliver this the way I said I would? Did I really, you know, provide quality work? Did I stick to all the terms I promised? If I did, okay, then we need to sit down and talk. If I didn't, first thing I need to do is resolve whatever my part of it is, and then, you know, I can move on and kind of address the client's part of it. And the client does have a part of it. This is where a lot of young freelancers get it wrong, and I'm sure you've seen this. Freelancers who act as an order taker, They don't hold the client accountable for anything. I think the most common one is probably getting content if you're building websites.
Yes.
Right? Client, they have to provide the content unless they're paying you
right.
to come up with it yourself. There are different ways to go about that, and that's just an example. But a client, it's their project. They're hiring us to drive it. They're hiring us to deliver something. But my God, it's their project. They're going to profit from it. They've got to have some kind of accountability to it, and that's where a lot of young freelancers just space it.
Yeah.
And they go right into authoritarian mode, right? Because we're kind of accustomed to having people tell us what to do growing up. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way to position yourself as a professional. And it sure as hell is not the way to end up in a position where you can actually resolve a conflict that's brewing.
Yeah. I think that you hit the nail on the head when you said a lot of us just go in, we either are order takers or we just kind of go into that mode where some of us get so excited to simply have a client because we've been searching for so long that when we do get one, we want to be that yes man. And so that way we're always, you know, yes, I can do that. Yes, I will do that. Or two, especially, I think this happens, and maybe I'm biased because I'm a developer, but I think especially when you are a developer, you get really held up in the technical side of things. Like that sure. becomes a selling point, you know, buzzwords like PHP, WordPress, Ruby on Rails, whatever it is, you get caught up in that sort of thing. And at the end of the day, you are a freelancer or not, but obviously if you're listening to this, you have some sort of skin in the game of freelancing. You are going to be a success or not a success based on the relationships that you have. Maybe the relationship is with your clients. Maybe it's with agencies, which is who I work with the majority of the time. Maybe it's with other freelancers who allow you to elevate or offer more or be a complete solution for other clients. I attribute my success, and of course, I deem myself as a success, but I attribute the success and the life I'm able to live due to the relationships that I have with other people. And I've had to swallow my pride a lot of times, and luckily I've had people that have called me out because I have done the opposite of what Chris's course walks you through how to handle that. I've jumped right to the okay, I'm gonna hit the on fire button and I'm pissed off and I don't like this. And I've voiced that before, and luckily I've had other freelancers I work with be like, dude, you need to look at it this way. You need to contemplate what is their situation like. Maybe they're under the gun from a deadline or something like that. And when you can do that, it takes a certain level of maturity to be able to do that. But when you can do that, you create these good relationships. You save yourself a lot of grief. The health of how you feel about what you're doing is going to play a huge factor in your ability to get clients, do good work, so forth and so on. And the more that you create a you versus them, you versus the client situation, it's going to just deteriorate your ability to genuinely enjoy what you're doing. And I've had to swallow my pride in order to get to a point like that. And like I said, again, at the beginning of the year, I had to do that and say, I enjoy the people that I work with because I'm able to work for myself. I work at home. I see my daughter when she wakes up. My wife works from home too. And so I'm able to live this way that I want to live. And it's because I'm learning, although I've learned a ton through this course, these 10 days, I'm learning to handle this client conflict. And yeah, it's good. Something, it's client conflict is not the sexy thing to talk about when it comes to freelancing, because people just feel like, oh, well, I would do it this way.
Right.
How many times have you said to somebody else, whether you're giving them advice or whatever, you know, in dealing with agencies, I don't deal a lot directly with clients. So I'm able to, say things from a different place, and usually it's like, oh well, I would just tell them this, but the project manager knows the situation they're in, knows the client, and that can't always be the case. So I'm telling you guys, I mean, Chris, where can they go to sign up for this course? Because the course is completely free. Like, this is not a paid product or anything like that.
Yeah, 100% free. It's actually a this is one of the ways where I'm going to kind of evaluate where I am and what it is that I can offer to freelancers product-wise down the road. But in the meantime, I mean, you go onto the freelancing subreddit, you see this kind of stuff all the time. My client's not paying me on time. My client won't answer their phone calls. My client's arguing with me about art direction. These are real issues, and people need to figure out how to take care of them. So to sign up for the course, you can go to christopherhawkins.com/free-course. ChristopherHawkins.com/free-course. Throw your email in the box. Click on the big fat button, and you'll start getting your 10-day series of emails shortly thereafter.
Yeah, and again, I just have to say, because I compare email courses to what I did, and kind of use these other courses as a measuring stick for mine. And mine looks like, you know, a simple sentence compared to the thought that has clearly gone into this course.
Appreciate that, but don't be too quick to downplay your course. I mean, people wouldn't be signing up for it if it wasn't valuable. So
that's a good point.
Take pride in that. You got out there and you did it. That's what matters.
Yeah. whether you feel you need this help or not, I guarantee that I'm not about to say like you're going to get something out of this course, you know, to make Chris's numbers go way up with the millions of listeners who listen to this podcast. But seriously, though, client conflict is something that is going to either make your journey as a freelancer good or something bad. And it all comes down to the way that you handle it. Chris gives some great perspective on how to not only just approach or understand why client conflicts happen, but gives you literally multiple ways on how to handle different types of clients. You know, you've heard us mention non-responding clients, slow paying clients, you know, things like that. And so he not only gives you a good understanding of how to approach a conflict with a client, but gives you one step deeper into the type of clients and the type of issues that do arise, how to handle those specific situations. So go stop what you're doing right now. Go to christopherhawkins.com/free-course. The link will also be in the show notes for this podcast, and check it out. Chris, I have to just say thank you again for taking the time to talk to me and talk to my listeners. If you guys are not already listening to Chasing Product, even if you are dead set on I am a freelancer and that is all I want to do, there's a lot to be learned because, you know, like Chris said, he 13 years experience. So it's inevitable that some sort of gem when it comes to freelancing or running your own consultancy is going to fall in there. Definitely check out Chasing Product, which I'm sure you can find on his website as well.
Yep. Yes, indeed. And thanks for the kind words. We definitely do talk about keeping your freelance practice in order on Chasing Product. Otherwise, how are you going to ever launch a product?
Yeah, exactly. It's just like when you want to make the jump into full-time freelancing, right? No matter how much you want to quit your job, you need to have that job in place, because if you are having to worry about paying your bills or making it through the day, trying to figure out where your next meal is going to come from, it's going to make whatever you are pushing towards a lot harder. So get everything in place so that way you can do what it is that you want to do. I was going to pull you, Chris. I was going to pull you and just say, you know, give us three things that you feel every freelancer should know. But is there one thing when it comes to specifically client conflict? What would be one thing, one tip you would give freelancers who either are going through a situation like that or struggle with handling client conflict? What we'll consider the correct way.
Yeah. Outside of all the other things we've already talked about, which is making sure that, you know, the client has some degree of accountability to the project, making sure that your hands are clean when there's a conflict, presuming goodwill rather than assuming that your client is out to do you dirty. Boy, you're kind of turning around my own podcast format on me. It's oddly uncomfortable and pressure fraught. I'm going to say that when you are tempted to let down your boundaries, when you're tempted to capitulate to pressure, and bear in mind, pressure is not necessarily a negative thing, I would say to always find a way to say yes when you're saying no. When your client asks you to do something that violates your boundaries as a professional, violates whatever it is that you guys agreed to at the start of the engagement, if you, in your judgment, can afford to bend on that thing, that's fine, but make sure there's a price.
Yeah.
Tell them, no, I cannot build that feature for free, but yes, I can build that feature for X amount of money
or
feature. X amount of time. Yeah, a creature feature, right? always try to find the yes when you're saying no. Hold your boundaries, but give them options and make sure that those options have a cost.
Yeah.
That's very important, because if you just cave all the time, if you simply capitulate, then you're setting up a scenario where a client is basically being trained by you to run roughshod over you. And that's bad news for everybody.
Yeah. Well said. And one last thing before we end the podcast here. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
You know, aside from the course, no. I will say that any of you who sign up for Conquering Client Conflict, I'm going to warn you right now, there's homework. It's a real course. And in every module, I give you homework. But I'm going to talk to you in the homework. The homework basically amounts to, at the end of each module, here, please post a comment.
Yes.
And if you post up something interesting, or if you have a question, I'll jump right in there and talk with you. I'm looking to open up a conversation with you all. It's not just me sitting up here on high, handing out my course advice. Each module is on its own page of my site. You can post comments, you can post questions, you can answer the homework questions. I hope you do. And we'll have a conversation. So I'm really hoping that this is the start of a dialogue, more so than simply me just, you know, handing down the stone tablets and saying, you know, this is how it is, people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris, thank you very much again. We will have all those links in the show note, and make sure that you guys go check out Chasing Product if you are not a subscriber already. And until next week, we will talk to you then. Right there.